Rob Menery.
Hi, Eric.
We were just doing a mic check, and I got jealous of your voice. Do it again. Do your mic check again.
Mic check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I won't stop.
That's... Do you think in this voice?
No. I just...
You have a different voice to think in.
Yeah.
What does that voice sound like?
It's just this. Just chilling. I just chill.
I think we need to start at the beginning.
Okay.
When did we first meet? Do you remember this?
Yeah. I carried your golf bag.
No.
What?
It was before that.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe because who did you live with? That guy?
John Downs.
John Downs.
And you were pitching the project, the Blue Balls. Yeah. Not Blue Balls. Wrong project. Yeah. Sorry. Be the Ball.
Yeah.
And I think you and Joe were talking about that, and I walked in.
It was at your house.
It was at the house that I was just renting, like the crack shed in the back from John.
In Los Angeles. And you were a caddy at the time at Wilshire, and I wasn't a member.
You were not a member.
This was 5, 6, 7 years ago.
That was the first time by the pool table. I remember you guys were sitting right here at the table, and the pool table was right there. Yeah.
So in a sense, like, I mean, you know, I have this whole idea about, like, you know, random, like, interaction, and when you meet people and it's very strange, it's like, it's interesting that that happened. Because I even met John after playing at Wilshire, and he was just sitting there playing dice, and he just looks at me and he goes, "Do you want to play dice?" And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course he did. We've had several dice games at the house, yep.
So, but I think for the people that don't know who you are, like my parents, mm-hmm. explain who is Bob Menery?
I have no fucking idea. that's a tough one. I'm a guy who does comedic sports videos that basically I pretend I'm a sports announcer, and I say what sports announcers want to say but can't. So basically, like, if you're a sports announcer, like Jim Nantz can't be like, "Yeah, ball to 30, knocks his dick off," you know, and can't say that, but I can. So I created that thing on Instagram, and it kind of just took fire really quickly somehow. I don't know why, but...
I remember around any large sporting event,
yeah,
like, I think it was the day before the Super Bowl, you texted videos to me, and you're like, I remember, even back then, I remember it. You were like, "The game starts tomorrow, but the pregame starts now."
I would send you personalized. I used to do it to everybody. Well, my shtick was always this. Like, it started, I've always done the shtick because I had, like, a cool little voice, like, the, you know, sports casting voice. So I used to randomly go out in public and just go up to a random group of people. My buddies would be like, "We can't even go out for fucking drinks with you. Like, we don't have fun with you, Bobby, because you just leave us." You run up to a random group of table and you're like, "Brady at the 20, Welker in the right slot, Gronk in the far left here." And the people would, like, look at me strange, but then they would laugh. And I had, like, a 99% success rate of, like, people laughing.
By the way, big thanks to Callaway.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, do you want to thank Callaway also?
I do. Of course I do. I'm excited to go to the new show and go see the new products.
This is going to come out sometime later, so this driver will be old news by then. But I think what really, I was talking to AJ and Chad, the two guys that I know from Callaway, and they were really nice last night about how, I mean, it's cool. Like, they're just making a cool place for us to hang out. Like, I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw you.
Well, we're going to find out today. We're going to find out if it is cool.
We're going to get
to the bottom of this.
But you love golf.
No, I do, yeah. I like to play. I like to play big. I don't like gamble elsewhere. But I play fucking huge money games.
Didn't you and I play for money?
I think
I took $20 off you.
Yeah, the numbers have gone up since then. They're not 20 anymore. It's more like, can I eat tomorrow?
Tell me a little. I want to get into all of your story. But when did you first play golf? What is that story?
First played golf. I was just a bag boy at a country club. Just kind of was around the sport. I was cleaning golf clubs at like 14, 15 years old.
What course?
Andover Country Club in Massachusetts.
Okay. You're a Mass boy. You're a Mass guy.
Mass guy. My father was a member there for so many years. My uncle was a head pro. Fired me like 9 times, but I got a job back.
Are you... You seem to be a person that would be a difficult hire.
Terrible hire. But I always find a way to get hired. It's like the time at Wilshire caddying when I told them that I caddied at Augusta. I went up to the starter, Pete, and he's like, "So wherever you worked?" And I just panicked. I was like, "Augusta? Ask Pete, I'm not joking." Well, yeah.
And I'm not going to ask Pete. You guys have a sordid history.
Yeah, we do.
Pete, the starter at Wilshire. Anyway, but you start...
Yeah.
He's a firecracker.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Horse of a different color.
When we take a break for commercial, I can ask you how deep we can go into that story. Mm-hmm. But the real deal is, you started playing golf 14, 15, you're working at a club. Mm-hmm. Did you love golf at the time, or were you just like making money caddying?
I was not caddy. I was bag boying.
Bag boying.
So I would just, when players were done, they would throw their clubs at me, give me a dollar, and I would clean their clubs and make sure they were clean.
Right.
And then I would put them in the stall.
Was that a thankless job?
No, everybody's pretty cool. It was like one of those private clubs. You know, they're all cool people. So
and
like,
you're a master of like kind of like short talk. Of just
schmoozer.
Like,
I'm a little schmoozer.
Just bada 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 bada.
Yeah, bada boom. Yeah.
Like, were you doing the sports announcer bit then?
No, I wasn't like, well, thanks for your clubs. Here you go. How do you want your 9-iron cleaned? No, I wasn't. But the oldest, because the question I get asked a lot is like, when is the first moment that you realize that you had the sports announcer voice? And the only moment that I can remember is I was sitting in a car with my buddy Josh Avanilla in high school. We had the windows down, and there was this really old lady sitting next to us with her window open. And I just basically like went off on this like rant like about like Coco. I was like, well, Coco Crisp, and he steals second, and like something said something stupid. And the lady's like looking at us like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid? That's the oldest memory I have when right. I first used the voice.
So you're doing the bag boy thing, and then I mean, are you playing golf on Mondays? What's going on?
No, I mean, it was not like Mondays. Like it, when I was at that other club in Andover, you could play any day you want.
Right.
Past 3 o'clock. So I was playing when I could, but I was just more working. Yeah. You know?
It was just a job. And then you continued through. Did you go to college? Did you go to high school? When did you drop out is my question. Yeah.
Barely made it out of high school.
You made it. Oh, that's good.
Yep. I made it out of high school barely. And then I studied acting.
Really?
Yeah, 1 week.
I did not 1 week.
No lie. No, I'm not joking. I did a 1 week camp at the New York Film Academy.
Oh, you completed a 1 week class. I thought you meant...
Well, it was like a year program. It was a year program, but I made it a week.
Right, that's good.
I just was like, this 100%. Is weird. Like, people are running around in like Peter Pan outfits. I'm like, I'm fucking out of here.
Right.
I can't be doing this.
But you knew that acting was interesting to you, and I wonder why. Do you know why?
I just felt, you know, you could be free. You could be yourself. You don't have to, like, fucking worry about anybody else.
Right.
You know, when you're in an acting room, and you're in, like, a safe place, I guess. You know, you can just do whatever the fuck you want, you know?
Like this room? Like, is this room safe?
This room is very safe. Turn those goddamn cameras off now.
It's not safe.
This is a safe room. I mean, it got a little weird. I mean, when they had you do things like an improv, like when they're like, all right, and that's why I thought they were fucking with us. They're like, all right, everybody's an animal. Like, you're going to walk around like an animal. I'm like, what am I? Why am I crawling around like a tiger? Yeah, why are you a giraffe?
Like a
I'm like, this is not normal.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, all right, let's axe this. And,
well,
yeah.
It's like, I guess, ultimately, were you looking for a sense of performer, but not like... theatrical.
I just loved the arts. I loved going to the movies.
Yeah.
I loved, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman was one of my favorite actors.
Why?
I don't know. He was fucking real. He was just like, I mean, him in Charlie Wilson's War, I think, was his, one of his best movies.
He's also dark.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know what I mean? But like, he kind of just like, he consumed whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis. I think they're kind of in the same category.
They're just both killers in that industry. Yeah.
Is that something you would want to do?
Definitely. That's what I'm trying to do. In 2019, it's just like all like, I want to do acting, TV.
Do you see there being a difficult jump for you now? I think what it gets back to is like, in to be a comedian, are you a comedian? What are you the most?
I don't know.
You're a comedian.
I don't know the fuck I am. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I have no idea. And all, what I do is what you see on Instagram.
What is the talent that's most valuable for you then that you have of what makes Bob Bob?
Probably my voice.
Your voice. But I mean, beyond that, I think what I'm getting at is like the sense of comedic timing involves like an incredible level of intelligence.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's humble, but I don't know. When I think about all the great comedians, there is an extraordinary level of, I mean, it may not be book smart, it may not be life decisions.
Definitely not fucking book smart, I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
But there's an incredible, like, present moment awareness of, like, what is funny. You know, and even seeing you interact with people now, like, how have you changed since the last time I've seen you?
I've been more disciplined, that's about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me.
I mean, compare the two? Sorry. You know, no more real big benders, I guess, as much. I don't know. I've just been more disciplined. I poured everything into this. Once I get my second chance, because my story, like, the way, I don't know if you want to get into it now, but the way it all started for me was basically went to LA for 4 years to be an actor and comedian.
And when was that? Like, how many years ago from now? Seven?
I have no idea. I have no sense of time. That's right. Another one of my weaknesses.
I don't either.
I have no sense. I'm so bad. Mm-hmm. I have a fucking terrible memory.
But when did you leave LA? Two years ago now?
I think I'm about just under 2 years.
Yeah, so it's like 6 years ago. This is like right when we first met. When we first met, you had just gotten to LA, kind of.
Correct.
So you came out to be an actor.
I came out to be an actor and then, you know, and a comedian, and ended up not doing one audition, not one thing that's supposed to be acting related.
Why not?
There was fear. There was just like, just didn't know. I just wasn't, I don't know, I wasn't centered. I didn't, yeah. It's hard for me to start something.
Yeah.
It's like anything else. I think starting is the hardest thing. But once I got started and I caught that break that I'm about to tell you, like how this happened, it's, I just like haven't stopped. I got obsessive. And when I get obsessive with something, I can't stop.
Sure.
Until it gets perfectly done. But the way it happened was, I was came back from LA after 4 years being there, acting comedian. Was not doing well. Wasn't getting work at Wilshire because I was dealing with obviously the problems that you know about with the whole.
There was an unspoken drama that occurred at Wilshire, yeah. And from now until
I'm not
the
legally
day
allowed.
You die,
I'm not legally allowed to talk about it. So
you're not even legally allowed to talk.
No,
about it?
No, not legally allowed to talk about.
Are
it.
You? Will your children be allowed to go on the property?
My great-grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their dogs, cats, whatever they have, none of them will be allowed on the property.
They're not going to
Wilshire. Wilshire Country Club.
Well,
now one day I'll be able to play Wilshire.
I think so. I would like to, you know, maybe it's in an outfit that is, conceals your identity, but.
Well, I'm just going to have to go with like Babina Mamari or something, with like a wig and like a, like Babina or something.
So anyway, the shit hits the fan at Wilshire. And
shit hits the fan at Wilshire. I'm actually at a point where I'm sleeping in a car.
What kind of car?
A Honda? A Jeep Wrangler.
Okay.
Jeep Wrangler. It had space. It was
that's
good.
That's good for the apocalypse.
It had some tinted windows. And I had, it was fucking funny. I had a membership at the YMCA.
So, on Selma there in Hollywood?
At Selma in Hollywood.
That's
yeah.
Gangster.
Took a lot of jacuzzi baths
that's
there. It was pretty cool, yeah.
What was your sport there? You just do the gym?
No, racquetball? I would just shower. I didn't know the fuck the gym. I just needed a place to shower.
That's actually a really good, that's a good life hack.
It's
sleep, car, shower. Why?
Save a lot of rent. Tell you that much.
I'm thinking about it.
Save a lot of rent. So what I did was I would sleep in the car, but I wouldn't tell anybody. Like I didn't tell anybody. Like my family had never asked for money. Never, you know, whatever. I was just didn't. Work was slow and whatnot. So I ended up just being like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna sleep in a car." So I would drive around, find different neighborhoods that were like nice to sleep in.
Right.
Sleep in the back of the car. Go to the YMCA, go to Wilshire to try and get a job. And that was my routine for a month straight. Now imagine somebody sleeping in their car for a day, right?
Yeah.
I did it for a fucking month straight, 30 days.
Why didn't you have a place? What happened?
I just didn't have any money at the time. I mismanaged funds. I had, you know.
Because you were getting loops at Wilshire.
I was getting loops at Wilshire, but I also had terrible habits. I was, like what we talked about, I was just a bad.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
You would leave Wilshire with less money than you arrived with.
I would make 200. I would spend 700.
I feel like Kanye West talks about
it. Yeah. That. So I've gotten better at that. But so yeah, and then basically I never told anybody. Was like, "Bob, where do you live?" Like we'd go over drinks. Like, "Bob, where do you live?" I'm like, "Oh, that apartment building right there." They're like, "That's weird. It says foreclosed." I'm like, "Oh, sorry, that one, the one next to it."
Right.
And then one day I'm literally in my car sleeping. My buddy pulls up, Ernie Giapappas. You know Ernie?
No.
Pulls up, finds me in the car, he's like, "Bobby, we know you're sleeping in the car." He's like, "You're not doing right." He's like, "You gotta go home." So I'm like, "Well," I'm like, "what are you talking about?" I'm like waking up in the car. He's like, "You got to go home. You're not doing well at all." So he picks up the phone. He calls my family and he's like, "Hey, just want to let you know, Bob is not doing well. He's just not, he's got to come home." My dad and mom are like, "Fuck, not again." You know, joking, but.
Because they said that with me.
Yeah.
It happened like five times.
So I go back home. And I remember going back home. This is how fast it happened. Go back home. I was home for probably about 4 or 5 days. And my buddy, brother-in-law picks me up. He's like, "You got to get a job." He's like, you know, "You got to get a job. We got to get you back in the game." I'm like, "All right." So he drops me off at a liquor store down the street. I saw you laughing. Fuck you. Drops me off at the liquor store. And I walk in. I'm like, "Hi, I'm Bob Mataria. Looking for a job." You know, and they got the application. Went home. I get a call from my buddy Mike Constantino. He's this big rapper. He's got 9,000 followers on Instagram.
Right, right.
He's like, "Yo, you want to be in my music video? I'm shooting this new music. It's called like Killing People." or something like that. So I was like, all right, I'm in, fuck it. So I go to his house. We shoot the music video. You see my fingernail in the thing or something. Who knows? Right. Then I go and I go to this back room. I go sit on a couch. And I sit next to this guy who I've never met before. His name's David Justin. Never met the guy in my life. David and I were all talking. So obviously, what do? That I've done throughout my whole life. I do my what? I do my bit.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, welcome. I put in like, I always had the NFL on Fox.
But you know who David Justin is?
I know him now. Yeah. I didn't know him at the time.
Is a baseball player?
No. David Justin is a random kid.
Literally nobody.
Random, nobody.
Oh, I thought he might have had 10,000 followers.
No. So he pulls out his phone, presses record, and I do my bit. Whatever. Same as I've done forever, you know. But I go to bed. Next morning, I wake up. My phone's like, bling, bling, bling. I'm like, the fuck's going on? You know, whatever. So I check my phone. It's like, my shit went viral, like, overnight. USA Today picked it up, like, New York Post. It was number one on Reddit. It was like, why isn't this guy a sports announcer? And it went, like, everywhere across the internet. And so I'm sitting there, and I had a golf tournament to play that day. And I was playing with this guy, one of my dad's friends, who's a member guest. And he's like, I'm like, hey, I got to be by my phone today. Like, I got some stuff going on, whatever. And he's like, you're not using your phone today. So I put my phone away for the day. I went back and checked my phone. I had 316 missed calls when I came back. Like I said, my clip went viral. I did the next day. I put another clip out there. I did the same exact thing. I kind of did this bit where I did the sports announcer thing. It went viral again. It was number one on Reddit, blah, blah. So I had some traction. So then my buddy goes, you ever heard of Instagram? I'm like, no, I have no fucking idea what Instagram is, whatever. Basically carried my, after that, started doing sports glitches on Instagram with like 30 followers. It was like my grandmother, mother, aunt, like whatever.
Yeah.
They shared it. And then, it just started. That's how it all started.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember actually right around this time, you were like, yo, you hit me up and you were like, yo, let's make a documentary of me. Literally, rising to the top of this like sports comedy thing.
You're like, Bobby, you have 31 followers. You can't do that.
I was skeptical. I was like, Bob, I don't know, man. Like, I know that there was some shit that went down at Wilshire. I know that, like, I've always loved the clips you've sent me. Like, they always cracked me up. And I remember even before that, like, you would send me this stuff. And remember, I was like, dude, we should do something with this. Like, this is really funny. Like, you could make, I mean, you could do anything with that character. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, well, that's what I think we're trying to, I'm trying to do this animated series, which would be cool. I think we're trying to figure out how to do it, but yeah, with the character of Bob and Peter and that, yeah.
Tell me about Peter. Who the fuck is Peter?
Peter is my color commentator, who is there with me day in and day out. Every clip I do, Peter's by my side.
Is he like an angel over the right or a devil on the left?
Oh boy, he's a devil. He is.
Does Peter get you in trouble?
Yep. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Anything bad that happens, Peter gets blamed. So,
but Peter doesn't have a voice.
Peter talks, but he just chooses not to during, you know, he talks off the mic.
He's very shy.
That's why he's like the worst color commentator ever. He's just so shy. I'm like, Peter, you got to talk.
Right.
He never does. So, it's Peter.
Let's go to a quick break really quick. Yo, all right, the Adidas, y'all, get into it. I know you may have seen those sick NMDs that I was wearing the other day, the Gore-Tex jams. Anyway, here we go. This is from Adidas. Get the year and your golf game off on the right foot, quite literally. We all know a good golf swing starts from the ground up, and luckily Adidas has you covered. Tour 360, Addi Power Forged, Addi Cross, Addi Pure, all with Boost. That's with a couple extra O's in there for pleasure. The best cushioning in the game, I can attest to that, but also all designed to perform on the course, so all you have to think about is your swing, which is definitely complicated enough. If you're like me, head over to adidas.com, click on the golf section, and find the style that's right for you. You can also follow Adidas Golf, at Adidas Golf, for all the latest news and info. Check it out. What would you say, Indian followers? Where are they going to come from? Is America your main demo?
Los Angeles, New York, Chicago.
10 followers already.
All 9-year-old children.
Do you ever go? We're rolling now.
Cool.
So then you get on Instagram and you post some vids and basically the world listens.
Yeah, I started just like I said. I start with video game glitches. That's how I started it. Like, you know, when you're playing Madden and like Deion Lewis has no fucking head for some reason.
Right.
Like when his arm rips off or, so, you know, the video game glitches.
Those are hilarious.
So I'm like, why the fuck is the sports announcer announcing the, like, Deion Lewis, the 20, the 10, 5th or 5 touchdown? I'm like, why is he announcing it like this? Deion Lewis has no fucking head. It needs to be addressed. He's running down the field with no fucking head. So I wanted to be the announcer that called it that way.
Right.
So I started with sports glitches and then kind of just got old of those and then just flipped it over to just kind of doing whatever the most recent highlight was that came out, especially with something funny. And doing it that way.
Your way of looking at, like, sports and games and whatever it is you're commenting on is very direct. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very, it's, in a way, it's very simple, which is what makes it so great. Have you had time to reflect on what you do?
No.
No.
Nope.
You just do it.
I just do it.
Yeah.
And I hate listening to my voice. I really hate talking about it. Yeah, I just do it. And it's the biggest, it's like a very high anxiety moment. After I do a clip and I post it for that 3 to 4 minutes when I post it up there, I can tell how the numbers are doing very quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, either fuck, I'm an idiot, or it's like, nailed it. You know, it's like one of the two.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't really, and then once it's done, it's just done. I don't think about it.
But if you didn't nail it, do you think about, what do? You delete it? Do you?
I get it off pretty quickly, but there's not a lot of times where I'll allow that to happen. But it has happened where I haven't done well. I kind of rushed it. Dude, my blooper reel is out of control, actually.
I would imagine.
Dude, when I am fucked up, sometimes I try it, like when I'm really, really fucked up. And I'm like, I can do a couple of videos right now. And I do them, dude, and I just have them saved. Those are the ones I'll listen to because they're fucking hilarious. Just me slurring and just sounding like a fucking idiot.
Because you, at what point are you, is it controversial, anything you're doing?
Talking about blow, hookers, and gay people? Yeah, I'd say so.
Do you? How does that make you feel?
I don't care. I think the world needs to loosen up a little bit. And I'm not offending anybody, really, in my clips. There was one clip I did that was bad that I had to get rid of. I'm not going to repeat it. There was one that was really bad. But I don't know. It's nothing. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just, you know, trying to make people laugh in a very weird world that we live in now where everybody's being big pussies.
Well, I mean, you know, who did we interview? You know, Richard Kind, he was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, Cousin Andy.
Yeah, of course.
And he was saying about how, like, you know, multiple types of people come up to him. Some people come up and they're like, hey, Cousin Andy. Some people come up and they're like, yo, can I get a photo? Some people come up and they're like, dude, when my mom was dying, your comedy changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me through that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you've gotten that yet or anything, but do you get a chance to interact with the people that enjoy your work?
All the time. Yeah, I do now. It's cool. Yeah, that's the cool thing. And that's why everybody's like, when I get asked for pictures, everybody's like, does it bother you, man? Do you mind if I ask you for a picture? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, take 5. I love this shit.
Yeah, like, I was sleeping in a car.
I was like, dude, I was sleeping in a fucking car. Take all the pictures you want. The worst is when it's a group of 3, though. That's my thing. It's a group of 3 people, and they come up, like, kids normally. Like, if I go to a basketball game or a football game, it's 1,000 pictures.
Right.
1,000. It's nonstop. It's like Elvis is in the building. It's fucking weird. And it's like, I'm like, what the fuck? How dumb are you guys? I do stupid videos. Like, why do you want a picture with me? But the worst is when it's like 3 people and 2, like all 3 of them be like, yeah, huge fans, huge fans. Like, I'm like, oh, dude, thanks. Like, whatever. And they're like, can I get a picture? I'm like, of course. So I'll take a picture with one. Then I'll take a picture with the second one. And the other kid will just be standing there. I'll be like, do you want a picture? And he'll be like, no. And I'll be like, what the fuck do you mean, no? Like,
that's so uncomfortable.
I'll just get so mad.
Right.
And I'll be like, damn.
Just play along.
Yeah. Just fucking take a picture with me,
right?
This is me. Please, just take a fucking picture.
You realize how painful it is when you said no to me?
Dude, I know. It's the worst. So, yeah.
I mean, on some level, what is that like now? Like, now do you have a different consideration when you go out to a sporting event? Do you have to think about it differently now? Is it logistically different? Or you just roll?
I just roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't. It's cool.
The
only time where it sucks is like when I'm really hungover,
right?
And then somebody will come up to me, and people will come up to me and say like, "Oh, you're Bob Menery," or something like that. And then I'll just be like, "Oh fuck, I hate that. I'm hungover. I don't want to do this, but I'm still trying to mess." But otherwise, I love it.
Because are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Brilliant. You just inverted the question completely. So you play. What's your favorite sport?
My favorite sport to play is golf. To watch is football.
Right. Yeah, I like watching NFL.
I just sneezed too, but go ahead.
That was an interesting sneeze.
No, I have to. It's coming, don't worry. Just give it a second.
Did you ever see the Bogan Aussie?
I
feel like I sent you this a while ago. It's this Australian guy who, he's a similar version, but he wasn't successful. Mm-hmm. You know, he does these kind of like, he's also way more fucked up. Like his shit is like, I feel guilty listening to it.
Yeah.
Like he's talking about, well, we'll listen to it later, but
yeah.
And if you're listening to this now and you want to get, you know, like another, you know, more on the story, it's like, it's just interesting because
don't send my people elsewhere.
Don't go listen to
them. Don't listen to them. No.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's like, when you look at like, there's Pandora, there's Spotify, there's Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Right. And why do you pick a certain one, or why does a certain one become more successful? Have you had a chance to look at that yet? Like, what is it about what you do that has worked?
Well, I think actually first back to your point where it's like, I've pulled back a lot of the stuff now that I've done, like I, in the beginning, when I first started doing this, I went like really brutal with the stuff I was saying,
yeah,
and whatever, but now it kind of gets to the point where like sponsors are involved and yeah. stuff like that. So you got to pull it back a little bit. So I push it as far as I can where I can still get like paid to do shit.
Where is the cutoff between words? What word can you say still and what word can't you say still?
I don't think anything, you know, I stay away from race, politics, because politics, like, I don't ever do anything like Trump or Obama, like, and it divides your audience. It's dumb to do.
Yeah.
You know, so I stay away from those things. I mean, nothing with just like, I mean, you know, South Park did like gay jokes and stuff like that. I still do them, but I do them in a different, try and do them in a more delicate way.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I don't really.
It depends, because you probably just sit
like there's
down.
Not a lot more. There's not as a blow. The blow jokes have slowed down huge. Like, let's be honest. All right, like the blow jokes are, because that is something where I actually lost like a couple big deals because of that.
You've had you mentioned South Park. Do you have any like inspirations that you go to? Like, I mean, what do you watch when you're like, I just need to fucking laugh?
I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't really watch that much comedy stuff. Family Guy was obviously great, but
I love Family Guy.
I'm more of like a guy that just goes on YouTube and watches like, which I forget who says it, what comedian, but like I just watch like snakes eat things and alligators eat gazelles for like hours. And I just like will sit there. I'm not joking. That's my thing. I don't sit there and watch.
I'm remembering now. Yeah, you did post this where you and I don't remember someone else were watching the, but it wasn't like was it Planet Earth? Did you get into that?
I just started watching Blue Planet, and
that's good.
Yeah, Blue Planet was good, but I'm just so into like the nature shit,
right?
And like I don't do comedy. Like I don't watch anything like at all.
Is it dark what you're watching? I mean, you're watching Animal Kingdom, like.
Well, my favorite clip is Battle of Kruger. Have you ever seen that?
That's really good.
That's fucking craziest shit ever.
That's really good.
Buffaloes come out, and the fucking alligators come and fuck up.
Have you done that one?
Oh, you know.
You should commentate Battle of Kruger.
Well, here's the deal. That's a great idea. Like, well, and here come the buffaloes. They are not happy. The alligator is in the water waiting for the lions, who are now waiting to go fuck up the buffaloes. And the buffaloes are waiting for the gator. Oh, the gator pulls the buffalo in. Not a good sign. But here come the lions. As the lion rips the buffalo's asshole out. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's good.
That's good. That's good. Dude, you really know that clip.
Dude, I do. I've watched it so many times, and every time I have the same reaction. I'm like, wow.
It's ultimately, you know, what's cool is you're watching like the first sport.
Yeah.
This is the first sport. It's like animal versus animal, like to the death.
I did do a fucking clip though on that. I remember I did a clip. I put the NFL on Fox soundtrack behind it. It was like, da-da-dun, da-da-dun, da-da-dun. And there was a gazelle crossing the water. And I was like, here comes the alligator and he is about to fuck the gazelle up. And oh my, you know, I did do that before.
Right.
I did do that clip.
I love that.
So
you could probably get into some meta shit too, where it's like, because you know, like I love David Attenborough, love Planet Earth. Like when he's talking about the sloth, like you could even just do one on the sloth. Like I feel like for you, the best is like a blank canvas in some ways. You know what I mean? Like, because even I don't know. I just think that that would be a cool exercise in some way. You know, I'd love to see that.
See, I always want to switch it up. Like obviously, because I don't want to do the same thing over and over again with sports. But it's like at the same time, the numbers are still the same. The numbers are getting better.
Yeah.
The engagement's getting better. So it's like hard for me to like just transition and take a risk to do something like that and try and replicate those numbers. Yeah. Once they start to slow down, I'll make a transition into something else. But the numbers are still growing every day. The following's growing the same exact way. It's not slowing down at all.
No.
The engagement's getting better by the day.
Well, on some level, I mean, you know, we are in this world now of social media where it's just churn. It's just you need to put the milk on the shelf and like every day.
Yeah.
And I face that where I'm like, but it's not as good as the other day. And it's like, well, no, but you can't look at it that way, because at this point now it's just a newspaper needs to show up on the doorstep.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm used to basically like my pass as a documentary filmmaker was like, I do like 3 projects a year. And now it's like, well, I need to come out with like something every day. And it's like, you need to put attention into it. I mean, I don't know. Are you ever just like, I need to shut down?
I always do. I always shut down.
How long do you shut down for?
I never have a set schedule. I never, ever, ever plan a set schedule. I'll do more now peak engagement times where I post, because it's important. Beginning, when I first started doing them, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'll put something at 2:30. I was always like a rebel. Like my guys that helped me out like through the process would be like, you got to post at 8 p.m. You got to post at 7 p.m. And I'd just be like, no, fuck you. I'm posting whatever I want. If it's good content, it's going to whatever. But there is like some algorithm behind it, which I didn't realize. Yeah, I'm realizing now. So, yeah, that's...
I mean, if it's your job at this point, there's a certain way to clean the grooves. There's a certain way to post a video.
I just don't put thought into it. And I think when I stopped caring, and like that's when I started to have a little bit of success, is when I just was like, fuck it.
Right.
I'm just going to do whatever the fuck
I want.
He just says, fuck it. That's it. And yeah, that's it. So...
You kind of have this version of the world and the athletic mindset where it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why it's so funny. You know what I mean? It seems to be that.
I don't think it is.
You know, we basically think that these superstars, these gladiators, these athletes are all very in control. And you have this version of it where it's just like, it's a mess. And I think that's why Kruger is so interesting to you, is because it's like, it was like, you know, when you go back into the history of all of, you know, sport ultimately comes from life and death. It's kind of goes back to that. Mm-hmm. Did I just ruin this podcast?
No, I love it. I'm like so engaged. It's the shit I like to talk about.
You're into that.
Yeah.
What, we were talking about Jerky Boys at breakfast.
Yeah.
And those listening that are above the age of 30 or so, Colt, do you know what Jerky Boys are? Never heard of Jerky Boys.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah. Jerky Boys are great. The Uncle Freddy one's my favorite. There's when Uncle Freddy didn't die, and then he screams in the background. Yeah, they were just fucking classic. And like you were saying, that was all pre-internet shit. And yeah, Jerky Boys is great. I used to put that CD in and just fucking just road trip and just listen to every fucking one and just die laughing.
It's so good. Yeah. Saul's Glasses. I fell down the stairs and my shoes came off.
Yeah.
I need new glasses.
Yeah.
What? And so we were talking about that because, you know, prank calling just like shut down. Mm-hmm. Like no one does it anymore. I don't know why, but you have one. Can you tell the story about your one? If you did one prank call, this is the one to do in golf.
I was hungover on the couch in L.A. and for no reason just decided to call Augusta National. And it was Saturday, and I Googled, I was reading an article, I think Bill Gates is a member there. So I was just bored, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to call Augusta right now, record it, and just pretend I'm Bill Gates and ask if I can get a tee time at 2 o'clock, because I got a couple clients that I want to fly in and want to play. So I'll find this clip for you, too. They answer the phone, they're like, Augusta National, how can we help you? And I'm like, hey, how you doing, Bill Gates? And they were like, Mr. Gates, how are you? And I was like, pretty good. I'm like, listen, I got two important guys I'm flying in here. And this is not my Bill Gates impression.
Can you do your Bill Gates impression?
I don't have one. That's the problem. But I it was better than this. I'm just telling the story as it is. But slightly better.
Because my thought was, they're like, hey, Bob Menery.
No, because they wouldn't know me.
This is before.
Well, this is like smoking crack by a dumpster face.
Right.
So basically called them. They were like, I guess the National, blah, blah. And I was like, Bill Gates, I got two guys that I want to fly out, flew into town today that I want to get out there. And they were like, oh, unfortunately, Mr. Gates, we have the Masters this week. I'm like, what do you mean the Masters this week? And he's like, well, and he was like stumbling. He's like, well, the Masters, you know, the tournament, the Masters. And I was like, this is unacceptable. Can you fit me in? Can you put me on like 16 or 17? I'm like, these guys are very important. And the guy like went on for literally like a minute and a half. And I had this guy going. Right. And then finally the call just ended where he was just like, this isn't Bill Gates, is it? And I was like, oh. Gotcha. See you later, bitch. And just hang up the phone. I was like, yeah, nailed it. And then I was like, what am I doing with my life?
Augusta's literally going to get like 90 calls as soon as this goes up.
Yeah.
I mean, on some level, like, I'm shocked you got that far. Because I would think there'd be a separate phone number for the members. Like
it was, nope, simple. Boom, just Pro Shop Augusta. Pro Shop Augusta Saturday.
Are you
going to
play Augusta? What's going on?
Yeah, I've gotten invited there a bunch of times. Yeah, it's weird. I can play everywhere. I can't play fucking Wilshire. It just pisses me off. I want to go back there and be like, what's up, boys?
It's kind of like an important part of your story, though.
That's like more, more important for me to play Wilshire than it is Augusta.
I don't believe that.
I'm serious.
I don't believe that.
I swear to God.
But Bob Menery, you have this, you are like a social poker, right? Like you're going to get kicked out of places. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, but not really. I've gotten only got kicked out of Wilshire. And several clubs and several bars. You're right, actually. I take everything back.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's happening in this phase of the comedy career.
Right.
Right. You're pushing the envelope to a degree that, like, I mean, do you look at, I'm blanking on his name. Jim Carrey played him in Man on the Moon.
I forget who it is.
Kaufman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charlie Kaufman?
Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah, you're famous writer guy, right?
No, that's Charlie Kaufman, the comedian. Andy Kaufman.
Charlie Kaufman's the writer.
You're right. Yeah. Andy Kaufman, the kind of like social comedian.
Yeah.
You know, the one who was like, here I come to save the day. You know? You're kind of in that realm now, but it's social media and sports.
When people meet me, I'm a good guy. What I do online is just a shtick.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't really, I'm a good person.
I'm a good person.
I'm a good person. Wait, this is a cry for help.
Hang on, Bob. Can we make a shirt where you're just, it's just a
trust
you
me, and I'll, it says, trust me, I'll make a fucking shirt.
I'm a good person.
I'm a good person. Yeah, no, I'm not, I don't know. I mean, I've never, I think Wilshire's the only place I'm not allowed to, I'm really 86 from.
Who was the person that you've met a lot of celebrities in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
What was the moment where you're like, whoa, pinch me?
Amendola Edelman sleep overnight was pretty cool. That was a cool
sleepover.
Sleep overnight, went out to dinner with those guys, got fucked up. I'm like, Jules, hate to say this, I can't drive. I have to stay at your house. And he's like, fuck. All right, fine. So just had a – and I'm like a big Patriots fan.
Yeah.
And so it was just pretty starstruck. They're like, Bob, why do you keep staring at us? I'm like, oh, sorry, nothing. it was like just a weird moment. I was just in his apartment, all the history and like – Brady on pictures and sign stuff, and I was like, that was pretty cool. That was a cool moment. There's been a lot of cool things.
And how has it been? I've seen you kind of I only know what the public knows at this point because I haven't seen you in a while, but how has dating been? Like, how does that work as now Bob Menery?
Honestly, nothing. It's worse. Like, really? I don't know. Yeah, no, I get like 12-year-old boys slide my DMs. They're like, you're the GOAT. I'm like, where are your sisters? Can you please introduce me to somebody? I'm like, nobody. It's like, I don't know how the fuck this is even happening.
Didn't you do one? I look at what you do and I see it as social experimentation. I like when you go live and you're like, I'm going live with somebody right now. And you're like going into the feed and it's like, who's down? And like people are like afraid to join. You know, you see the one where you're like, fine, I'm going to go live with you. And then they decline. And you're like, it's an interesting way to look at, well, celebrity, fandom, comedy, mm-hmm. all this interesting stuff. I really do see a lot of intelligence in it. But it affects, how has it affected your personal life?
No, I don't know. Same. There's really nothing changed.
No,
not really. But the whole, that thing you were talking about, bringing the random people on.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking awesome.
Bregman
does it now. Alex does it. Alex is a good buddy of mine. And by the way, the future of baseball, he's my best player in baseball.
Great.
Next year. And he makes, you know, he's $565,000 a year right now. And you know what he's going to make next year?
Bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah. You know what he's going to make next year?
$8 million.
$25 million.
Jesus.
He's going to be one of the highest paid baseball. And I'm like, has that sank in yet? And he's like, no. I'm like, that's a lot of money.
Does he have any money from that yet?
Does he have any money from what?
Because I would start spending the money I don't have.
Yeah,
we
so
talked
would
about
I.
This.
Yeah, so would I. No, but I mean, to get beginning, you know, because he's going to get a fucking three. It just all depends on what Harper's deal is, where this isn't really a baseball talk show thing. But
yeah.
But he's the man. He's doing a lot for the community and everything now. He's just a fucking well-rounded. He's a stud.
So let's wind down here, but I just wanted to, let's go back to golf for a second. Again, thank you, Callaway. I really appreciate the space here. We're in this man cave.
Yeah, this is sick. This is like what
great.
I dream of doing with this whole thing that I'm doing. I would love this.
It'd be cool if they had a little bed in here.
Yeah.
And then we could just sort of, anyway.
Turn the camera off.
Golf, when we talk about golf, right, you've spent a better part of your lifetime in and around golf. Do you see, like, what's your perspective on golf and its current state in America? I mean, what do you do you sort of go to golf and you're like, ah, or do you go to, or do you have no problems with it? Or do you see anything? I mean, cause you've been on all sides of the game now.
Yeah.
Right. Like celebrity, smaller country clubs, I'm sure, nice courses, whatever, tournaments. You've seen so much golf in your life. What is your perspective on the game? A lot of people say it's broken or it's dying or it's grow the game. Da, da, da. Do you give a shit?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I personally, I think it's everything. I think the game. I love the game of golf. So, but I think it needs to get a little bit more exciting. I think it needs to get a little more fun. I think what they're doing, like the Tiger Field thing, it's cool. Yeah, I just think it's. I mean, it's let's get a little less boring and kind of. You know? Do you know? Did you hear about the interview thing they wanted to do during the rounds? They were trying to look into that.
Yeah.
Doing like in round interviews.
Yeah.
And I think like JT was really against it. Brooks said he was against it at first, but would do it. I just think some more stuff like that would kind of spice the game up a little bit. You know, just right. Make it a little more action packed instead of just like watching these guys walk by and like just go hit their next golf. You know, trying to get people outside the golf game to watch it somehow. So
I agree.
You know,
you kind of end up going
and I
to
think,
sleep
and
to
by
it.
The way, I think I'm a very good candidate for making that happen. So
Menary Masters.
I think we could turn.
The,
I could do
the
this.
Menary Masters. That could be another good shirt. I've come up with two great pieces of merch for you.
They're already on the site. They're already on the site, right. Being sold. Trust me.
Where did Peter get his name?
Well, Peter was born with his name. So,
but Peter's not a real person.
Well, you can't, Peter's one of the best color. You know, Aikman. You got give me some more here. Whoever they are, color. You got all these guys, and you got Peter.
I grew up with the Mets, the New York Mets, mm-hmm. and I can't remember their commentator's name. But mm-hmm. when I hear him, I freak out.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear Peter, because he's coming.
He's not. No, he doesn't. But where did he? Was it from Pete?
No,
it wasn't from Pete. No.
But that would have been awesome if it was. It's the ultimate like stab, twist, kill.
I'm going to make a character based on you.
That's awesome.
Pete is a mutual friend.
No, Peter, let me just tell you this. Peter will be found, will be heard, not found. Peter will be heard very soon and in a very big way.
Right.
And I don't know. See, Peter's a little camera shy.
Wait,
so,
is Peter Samuel L. Jackson?
Close.
That would be incredible.
Close. Very close. You're incredible. Getting hotter.
Yeah.
You want to play the hotter and colder game? No, but Peter is very shy. He will be revealed at a certain point. When he is revealed, boy, oh boy, you just wait to see who comes to the booth with me.
I can't wait. Any questions for me?
Fuck. So, Eric, how's your dog?
He's asleep.
I mean, I've already asked you so many questions at the party. I don't know.
Yeah. You don't have to. I mean, I just throw it out there.
Fuck.
It's just kind
this
of like
so
it's a
bad.
Bit of
you're
a wild
me in the
card
spot now. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. Am I turning red?
It's a bit of a wild
oh,
card.
Oh God, pull it, pull it.
I would. You know, I think my cousin.
And by the way, I will have you on my podcast, and I will have questions ready. I just didn't know. I don't know how this works.
Yeah,
right?
I'll have some ready for you.
All right.
There seems to be, I think one of the things too that's interesting about what you do is this kind of off the rails commentator, is that I think we all think that way. I think I've seen it come. Like I've seen a lot of people that aren't as talented as you basically go through some type of a sporting event or some type of life event, and it kind of happens. Like you could almost commentate on someone at the grocery.
Well, I did. Remember the girl taking a shit in the ground? Did you ever see that? She walks in a fucking store and she just bends over and drops a doogie on the floor. Do you ever see that? And then throws it at the guy for no reason. And just walks out. She was obviously on crack or something.
Right.
Horrible. I did that one. I did the one where the lady breaks in the store and climbs the ceiling and falls through. I do real life stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cops. I'll be into cops soon.
Cops.
I'll be
is
doing
good.
Some cop stuff.
What is your like favorite moment in life that you look forward to the most?
Winning the Wilshire Invitational. That was my favorite moment in life. Oh, by far. Are you fucking kidding me?
Your name's on a plaque.
Forever.
Who did you play with?
David Kim.
Wow.
Yeah. Randomly was just caddy one day. He's like, hey, kid, you play golf? I'm like,
no way.
Damn right I can. He's like, Wilshire Invitational next week. I'm like, see you there.
What happened? You just played lights out or did he carry you?
I was a 12 handicap and I shot 64 every day. So. No, I just fucking played lights out. I don't know.
Right.
And then I fucking hit that winning putt on 18.
You birdied 18?
No, we hit it. He hit his drive middle of the fairway. I hit it 20 yards off the green. left side, almost in the hazard.
Right.
And we're stroking, I think.
Oh, your alternate shot?
Alternate shot.
Oh, Christ.
So he hits it left side. Then he chips it to about 15 feet. I have a downhill slider, quadruple breaker.
Right to left?
No, quadruple breaker.
There's no quadruple break on 18.
I know. I'm just making it up, trying to make it sound better.
I'm like, it is just a
It was fucking grid. Straight, all right, Eric? It's like straight uphill, all right?
I'm like, wait, which Wilshire are we talking about?
And I made it. Did the fist pump. Forgot to pull my ball out of the cup.
Gangster.
And like I heard like Jerry.
Forget that.
I remember like when I was standing there, Jerry Vanderzand, he was this like evil. Like, not, I mean, good guy, but he was just evil man.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense. Like, he was just like really mean to caddies. And I remember standing on the green. And basically, for anybody that doesn't know, it was a Wilshire Invitational. It was this huge event in California. And I was the only caddy, I think, ever in the history to play it.
Probably.
And I ended up fucking winning and beating the president of the club on 18 to do it. So drain the putt, fist pump, run around the green. But I remember prior to that standing there and hearing Jerry Vandersandy over my shoulder going, and he's this old, like, man. He just reminds you of fucking Scrooge. And he's just like, God, I hope this fucking caddy doesn't win this thing. And then I had my putt, and I was like, fuck you, Jerry. And I went down, and I drained it.
That's good.
That's the best moment of my life.
I believe that. I mean,
like, that really is by far, dude.
Because in some ways, that was like you're pre-gaming the revenge. Mm-hmm. What do you want people to know about you that they don't know? What do people not know about Bob?
I don't know. I'm not good at thinking on my feet. I'm a really great guy. I'm a really nice person. I'm not the person that I, like, I'm not this wild animal drinker that you see on the internet.
You're a guy that says,
what time did I go to bed last night?
10:30?
No.
Before me, 9:30?
9 o'clock. I was in bed.
You were early.
I was in bed.
You're the kind of guy that says hi to people. And I really always like that at Wilshire because...
it's because I wanted your money, but...
I took your money in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
Yeah. That's my biggest thing is because, like, even with dating, it's really hard too because, like, parents will see, like, my page. And imagine being, like, you're dating Bob Menery.
Right.
And I'm like, woo, like, let's do blow, let's go on a bender, let's rip bags. And
at,
like,
this point now, it's a shtick that you kind of have to uphold.
I can't change it. What am I going to, like, start going to church? No.
You can be like, I'd like to see Bob Menery on a yoga retreat. That would be pretty funny.
Me too. I'd love to change this up a little bit. I don't want to be this guy anymore. This is horrible. But then the other thing is, too, you get very drunk easily because you'll be at a bar and it'll happen. Every time you go to a bar, they'll come up and people will be like, Bob, shots, let's do it, like, let's go. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to be a pussy and turn it down. So now I'm like a full-blown alcoholic.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you know, one hand, I don't know, one hand shakes the other, one hand washes the other,
whatever that expression is.
I have no idea. Anything else? I think we're good.
I had a great time. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for your time, man.
And Peter.
Peter's been sleeping.
There he is over there.
He's in the corner.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You're the best. I love you.
Later.
All right, see you.